This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we're going to carry on with the dalail regard and the proofs regarding Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu being chosen as the first Khalif. So we've gone through the Quran, we've gone through the Sunnah, ijma'. What is ijma'? Here is the ijma' of the Sahaba, the consensus of the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in. Was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu chosen by the ijma' of the Sahaba, the consensus of the Sahaba? Without a shadow of doubt, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen by the ijma' of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Now, those Sahaba who gave the bayat of Ridwan were known as the best of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So yeah, the people of Badr and then the Uhud and then later of those who gave the bayah, the allegiance to the Messenger of Allah on the day of Ridwan under the tree. And they gave bayah and allegiance to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would fight until the death. And why did they give this allegiance? Because when they came to Makkah, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu went into Mecca, and then there was rumors spread that Uthman had been martyred by the mushrikeen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took bayah from 1400 Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in that they would fight to the end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalled this in the Quran, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. He said, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةً. That Allah is pleased with those believers who give bayah to you under the tree. So Allah here praises them in His book. These were the best of people, and all of them gave bayah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and many, many more. Now the question arises, but the vast majority of Sahaba who were actually at the farewell Hajj were not even in Medina. So how is it possible that they gave bayah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? The most important, the most influential Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in were in Medina, with a few exceptions, but the most influential Sahaba were in Medina, and all of them gave bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So that's what all counted, because it's impossible to get everybody there. So they gave bayah even until the time of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar radiallahu anhu would not allow the influential Sahaba to actually leave Medina. It was only in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu that he allowed them to go out to other places. Umar was very careful. Only under dire need would he allow any of the eminent Sahaba radiallahu anhum to leave Medina. For two reasons, he would say. One, because I need you to be close by me if I need a mashwara, etc. The second is that he said, I don't want people to exploit you, your position, utilize you. So because of these factors, so during the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhum, all the influential Sahaba were in Medina. During the time of Umar ibn Khattab, all the influential Sahaba radiallahu anhum, bar a few who they sent themselves, were actually not in Medina. The rest were all in Medina. So the best of people gave bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Secondly, the statement of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is an indication to the ijma'. What did the Sahaba say? They would say, the Messenger of Allah chose Abu Bakr for our deen. What did they mean by deen? What did the Messenger of Allah choose him for? Lead the salah. So when the Messenger of Allah chose him for our deen, then we chose him for our dunya. And this exact statement is also attributed to no other than Ali radiallahu anhu. Now, it is a claim of a group of people. Look, Even if a group of people didn't give bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu Medina, it wouldn't make a difference because the vast majority did. And if the vast majority did, that suffice. And in this case, you know, a very, very large majority, if not everybody, gave. Then there's a claim that actually Ali gave the bayah, but he only gave the bayah because he was forced. And therefore, there is no ijma because Ali radiallahu anhu was forced to give the bayah. Now, I dealt with this in the last previous lesson, how Ali was not a coward. But secondly, look, and they say that Ali radiallahu anhu actually hid his real feelings, although he didn't want to give the bayah. We, as believers, only look at what is apparent. We don't know what's in the heart. Only Allah knows what's in the heart. If you take that argument, then they will never ever, you can never establish an ijma, a consensus in our 1400 years. Because you could always bring the argument, oh well, you know, he only did it because he wanted to keep you happy. He only did it because he didn't want to cause strife. He only did it because, you know, he was concerned what you would do to him, etc., etc. So therefore, from the ijma, it is established that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen by the best of people who Allah praised in the Quran. Radiallahu anhum wa radhu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with their abode by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. Let me briefly mention a couple of other reasons why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu deserved to be the Khalif. One, he spent many, many years with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Narrations, I left with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I came with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I did this with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I did this with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu were unanimous that the most knowledgeable from amongst them was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So knowledge-wise, he was the most knowledgeable amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He spent the most years with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first male to embrace Islam. Okay, in many, many narrations, as we've done and we shall do later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore testimony that he had superior qualities to everybody else. So because of all these narrations, Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah says that there was ijma amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'een that nobody was better than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They all agreed that the best one from amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And really, honestly, if you look into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look into the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, you realize that there was no person out of all the Sahaba, although all of them were ready to die for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no Sahabi who loved the Messenger of Allah as much as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. No Sahabi. There was no Sahabi who had as much concern for the deen as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So taking all these things into consideration, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most deserving to be the Khalif. Now, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives one, the Ansar give bayah, who was in the Saqifah, to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Then a couple of days later, they gather in the masjid and they call all the Muslims, and then a general bayah is given to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now, here everybody gives the bayah. It is on this occasion that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, "Where's Ali?" Then Ali comes. And he says, "Where's Zubair?" And Zubair come, and then they give bayah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now here, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives a speech, okay? And I'm going to read the speech out to you. So this is his inaugural speech, yeah? So you know, you have the prime ministers and the presidents, and that when they're sworn in, they give the inaugural speech, okay? "This is the best man after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to walk on the face of this earth." Look at his speech. Look how long his speech. You can actually time it, how long the speech of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is. He says, and I read it in English, and if in English it would be slightly longer than actually than it would be in Arabic. He says, O people, I have been indeed appointed over you, though I am not the best among you. If I do well, then help me. And if I act wrongly, then correct me. Truthfulness is synonymous with fulfilling the trust. And lying is tantamount to treachery. The weak amongst you is deemed strong by me until I return to them which is rightfully theirs, inshallah. And the strong amongst you is deemed weak by me until I take from them what is rightfully someone else's, inshallah. No group of people abandon jihad in the path of Allah except that Allah makes them suffer humiliation. And wickedness does not become widespread amongst a group of people except that Allah inflicts them with widespread calamity. Obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Messenger. And if I disobey Allah and His Messenger, then I have no right to your obedience. Stand up now to pray. May Allah have mercy upon you. This was the entire inaugural speech of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. No half an hour, no 1 hour, no run, but it came from the heart, and really, subhanAllah, it encompasses the essence of Islamic governance. Every point he touches on. So the first point he says, so let me briefly elaborate on the points. He says, O people, قَدْ وُلِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ, I have been appointed over you. قَدْ وُلِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. He doesn't say, I have appointed myself above you. Sahih? He says, I have been appointed, you have chosen me. Not that I chose myself. You know, no nepotism. And you look at Abu Bakr, he didn't choose his children. You look at Umar ibn Khattab, he didn't choose his children. Actually, when somebody said to choose Abdullah ibn Umar as a shura, he refused. You look at Uthman, he didn't choose his family. You look at Ali, he didn't choose his family. All four of the Khulafa'i Rashidun chose the best man for the job. You choose the best man for the job. And subhanAllah, look, he says, I was appointed upon this job. I did not take it myself. And then he says, I am not the best from amongst you. La ilaha illallah. This is a humility of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, without a shadow of doubt, was the best from amongst them. The Messenger of Allah said, the sun has not risen above a person who is better than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. No man who walked on the face of this earth after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was better than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Do you understand? And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he would make this dua. He said, oh, and this is such a beautiful dua. He would say, oh Allah, make me insignificant in my own eyes and make me significant in the eyes of others. In my own eyes, make me, you know, insignificant, make me humble. But give me status in the eyes of others. Generally, what the case is today is that, mashallah, we have serious status in our own eyes. You know, me, I'm like this, and I'm like this, and I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And the guy who's listening to you and thinking, Ya Rab, when is he going to shut up? Doesn't he realize he's making a fool out of himself? See, you humble yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, this is such a beautiful dua. Wallah, make me insignificant in my own eyes, but give me state of mansab, love, affection, compassion in the eyes of other people. In the eyes of other people. So this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, I have been placed upon you, and here a very important qaida and asool is here. To choose a leader is the right of the believers. The believers have the right to choose a leader. That's their haqq, that's their right. Either it's all the believers or it's the eminent and the leadership amongst the believers. But nobody else has the right to become a leader himself. And this is why in the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar was standing with a group of people and one of them said, Umar is standing, he's Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, if Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen dies, I am going to give bayah to so-and-so person. And then he justifies. Umar, listen to this. Then he justifies. He said, why? He said, because when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen, it happened all of a sudden and he was given bayah and the bayah was accepted. So Umar listens to this and he becomes enraged. Because in reality, Abu Bakr, it wasn't all of a sudden. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen by the Ansar, the Muhajirun, and then the bayatu Amma was given to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So Umar said, I am going to warn the people and give a khutbah. So Umar radiallahu anhu now went to the pulpit and he gave a khutbah. He said, there are a group of people who say this and that. That if Umar dies, that they will give bayah to so-and-so. He said, if anybody does this without the mashfura of the ummah, of the believers, he said, then kill the one who gives the bayah and kill the one who the bayah is given to. Why? Because you are creating discord. And this is why, look, the Prophet ﷺ left it open. One of the hikmahs the Messenger of Allah left it open was that he wanted the ummah to choose themselves. And this is why when Hassan radiallahu anhu went to Kufa, they asked Hassan, who was the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, they asked him, they said, what is the issue of Khilafah? What is the issue of Khilafah? Did Abu Bakr usurp it? He said, no. He said, the Messenger of Allah did not die all of a sudden. Messenger of Allah didn't die all of a sudden. The Messenger of Allah was alive for very ill for a number of days. He said, if the Messenger of Allah wanted to choose, he could have chose whoever he wished. But he left the affair to the believers. So to choose a leader in this ummah is up to the believers. And this is why you will see later on. And I'll just touch on it now. When Abu Bakr was ill, what did Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu say? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gathered the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in and he said, choose a man from amongst you. Choose. This is what he said to them first. He said, choose a man from amongst you. So see, this is the right of the believers that they choose their leaders. And that they choose the best one from amongst their leaders. Then he says, if I do well, then help me. And if I act wrongly, then correct me. Look at this, subhanAllah. Second sentence. What is the second sentence? Also a sentence of humility. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is Khalifatul Rasulillah. And out of all, another point, out of all the Sahaba Ridwanullah Jama'een, after all the Khulafa'i Rashidin, only one was known as Khalifatul Rasulillah, and that was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the second point is, what's he saying? He's saying to them, he said, look, if I do well, then assist me. But if I don't perform well, then correct me. Look, subhanAllah, another usul, very, very important usul, especially when it comes to leadership. No leader, na'udhu billah, is Allah. That whatever he says must go, period. And leadership should take this into consideration. So just because he said it, you know, it's like wahi, everybody should listen. No, he should understand people are human beings. But also leaders are not shaitan. That soon as he makes the smallest mistake, you're out there to criticize him and bring him down. No. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, look, if I do well, then help me. And if I make a mistake, then assist me. Your greatest ibadah is what? What's your greatest normal day-to-day ibadah? What is it? Salah. When the imam makes a mistake, what do you say? Huh? You say subhanAllah. You don't say Allahu Akbar, although generally in salah you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But when he makes a mistake, you say subhanAllah. Why do you say subhanAllah, not Allahu Akbar? Because what you are saying, subhanAllah, only Allah is pure from any faults and defects. Hey, Imam Saab, you're a human being. You can make a mistake. And similarly, Imam Saab realizes that he can make a mistake. And what does he do? He does sajda sahwa, if need be. The sajda of mistake. He thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you rectified me. That subhanAllah, how beautiful. So this is the principle. And this is why, look, you know, we often have kind of two extremes. One we have where the imam can do anything and the leader can do anything and the leader believes he can do everything. And on the other extreme, we have those people who have no understanding of leadership. Don't understand what it entails, but they're there to criticize. When it's on your shoulders, you realize how difficult it is. So this means that you don't exonerate people, but you know, you have a balance. طيب. And also this shows us Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's statement. He said, such a beautiful statement. Why is this such a beautiful statement? Who likes to be criticized, especially if you're a leader? He is saying, criticize me. And it also shows, you know, subhanAllah, if you look at it today, parents don't like to be criticized. What are you talking to? I'm your dad. Abu Bakr is Khalifa to Rasulullah. After all his virtues, Abu Bakr is saying, look, if I make a mistake, then rectify me. If I help me, you know, correct me. But if I do good, then be there to assist me. Don't only be there, listen, don't only be there to take my faults out. When I need you, you know, if I'm doing, be there, not just watching the show, let him slip up. And this is generally, this is often the case today. We are just waiting for, you know, even if they're doing good, we want to find some mistakes in them. So this is a beautiful asool for the leaders, the subjects, that you assist leadership, that you take mistakes, but you take the mistakes in proportion. And also that leadership, subjects have the right to criticize leadership. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, praised those people who assist leaders. Just leaders. And another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with you of three things, and he will be upset and displeased with you because of three reasons. So he says, the three reasons that he will be upset with you and displeased with you, or we will be pleased with you, will be that you don't do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you hold on to the rope of Allah, meaning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and you do not split, you do not break into divisions, and that you give nasiha to your leaders. You give nasiha. Nasiha is of ikhlas. Tayyib, you are concerned. You give nasiha to your leaders. And he said that for three reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with you. The first is qil wa qal. This talk here, that talk here, the leaders like this, this so and like that, so that's talking futile. And the second one, idha'atul mal, wasting wealth. To waste wealth, well. And the third one, wa kathratu sawal, and to ask too many questions. When you don't need to ask questions, you're always asking questions, wasting people's time. Sometimes you have people, you know, they ask questions because they want to be noticed. Not all the kids, some people, mashallah, inquisitive, alhamdulillah, Allah yubarak fiqh. But so you have this group of people, you know, you're in a thing, and they just want to be noticed. And may Allah guide us all. And it's so apparent. Because it's not even sometimes a question, it's actually a statement. Okay, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says something really beautiful. He said, truthfulness is synonymous with fulfilling the trust, and lying is tantamount to treachery. Meaning, the basis of any political system in Islam is truthfulness. Why? Because the purpose of any Islamic system is islah of people. to rectify people, to bring people closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remove them from any fitna fasad. Now let me ask you a question. Today, when you think about a politician, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Lies.
Liar. You know, he's lying, he's bluffing. And they lie, Allah mahfadna, they lie out the skin of their teeth. Before the election, they promise you the world. After the election, it's all lie. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying, the greatest basis of Islamic politics is that you speak the truth to people. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, the most despised people to Allah are three. Okay? An old man who fornicates. Why? Because you're old now. You know, your desires are not at that pinnacle anymore. And you still fornicate. It's such a habit. A king that lies. Why king? Because kings are powerful. They don't need to lie. And the third person, the Messenger of Allah said, a pauper who's arrogant. You're faqir, you're miskeen. You know, you're a nobody. And still you got arrogance. Normally you have something that makes you arrogant. No, this guy, mashallah, miskeen, he's got nothing and he's still arrogant. So this is the principle of Islamic politics, to speak the truth. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lays the next principle. He says, this is beautiful. Why? Because wallahi, this is totally and utterly absent in the Muslim world. And that is, the weak among you is deemed strong by me, until I return to them that which is rightfully theirs, inshallah. And the strong among you is deemed weak by me, until I take from them what is rightfully someone else's, inshallah. Look, subhanallah. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, here, lies a principle that justice for everybody. In the eyes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, everybody is equal. Where did Abu Bakr get this from? He got it from the Messenger of Allah. The famous story of the woman who from Bani Makhzuma. Bani Makhzuma was one of the strongest tribes amongst the Quraysh. It was a tribe of Abu Jahl, Walid ibn Mughira, Khalid ibn Walid. What did she do? She stole. And they sent Zayd ibn Harith radiallahu anhu, because Zayd was the beloved of the Messenger of Allah. Sorry, Osama bin Zayd. And he came to intercede. And the Prophet ﷺ became enraged. And he said, Oh Osama, are you interceding regarding one of the hajj, from the hajj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Messenger of Allah said, I swear by Allah, if my own daughter, Fatima bint Muhammad, stole, I would cut her hand off. Look at this, subhanallah. And on other occasions, you know, Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu came in Medina. Adi ibn Hatim was a prince. He was an Arab Christian prince. And he said, I went to see him. Eventually I thought, let me see who this man is. What's he about? And he said, I'm walking with him. And he said, this slave woman came in the middle of the street and she stopped him. She said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I have something I need to speak to you. And Adi goes, I realize that this man can't be a king. Because Adi himself was a prince. He realized. And then she complained about what she had to complain about. And the Prophet ﷺ said to her, he said, hold my hand and take it to any street in Medina and ask me for help. I will help you. And Adi says, he says, I realized that this man was something else. He was something special. See, this is where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu learnt it. That everybody is equal no matter where you come from. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that we created you from one being, one source, male, female. Okay? And then we made you tribes and nations and etc., etc., etc. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, لِتَعَارَفُ. Only reason, so you recognize each other. Yeah, so you recognize each other. That's it. Nobody is better than anybody else. You are just, you know, Allah created you. You had no choice, nor in your color, nor in the nation, nor in the tribe that you come from. That was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you. لِتَعَارَفُ. Like, so you may recognize each other. You know, like at home, here's a good example. MashaAllah, Hussein gets married and he has 10 children. Now Hussein, what's he going to name them? So Hussein names number one, Hussein. Number two, Hussein. Number three, Hussein. Number four, Hussein. And they say, his surname, this is your first name. Number five, Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Now when Hussein says Hussein, you have 10 saying, yes, dad, or you have none of them because they don't understand which one he's speaking to. So you give your children a different name, لِتَعَارَفُ. So you recognize them and they recognize each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you tribes and nations so that you recognize. He made you Sudanese, he made you Somalian, he made you Bhutan, he made you Kashmiri, he made you Bengali. Whatever he made you لِتَعَارَفُ, not because one of you are better than another. And this was the principle, la ilaha illallah, which was adopted by the early Muslims. Wallahi, wallahi. And it's amazing because literally, it's very rare to find this quality in the Muslim world today. Very rare to find it. And look how it is adopted. In 23 years, the Messenger of Allah taught the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and they were ready to do justice no matter who it was, even if it was against their own children. So the next quality is that Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu says that no group of people abandon jihad in the path of Allah except that Allah makes them suffer humiliation. La ilaha illallah. You look, subhanallah. No group of people forego jihad. They prepare their armies. They are there when they need to. It's their self-esteem, it's their self-izzah. Today, we have the tallest buildings in the world, many of the Muslim countries. You know, we have a huge population. 2 billion. But reality, there is no Muslim country you can really stray is a military force. Really, you know, compared to the big thing. Why? And what happens? Then you're vulnerable. And here the jihad doesn't mean that you are in perpetual fighting. No, you're in perpetual preparedness because you need it to defend your deen. You needed to defend your deen. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would send an army twice a year out just so the people knew that the Muslim was still strong. And today there is no real strong Muslim country out there who can defend the Muslims. One of the reasons is because the what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said here. Subhanallah, today, although we know all the positive connotations and the meanings of jihad, but today you use the word jihad, it's like, oh, don't use the word jihad. No, subhanAllah, we need to reclaim this word. If it's been hijacked by people who are on the extreme, then we need to reclaim it. You know, we got one group are saying, no, there is no military warfare in Islam. Of course there is. When somebody attacks your home, what do you do? What do? You pick up arms. It's an obligation. It's an obligation for your children, for your wife, for your family, for your nation. Every nation does it. On the other extreme, we got those who have just hijacked it and massacred the innocents, and they call it jihad. So those who are the middle path, as one of the Salaf said, is sometimes you have to take up arms to take arms out of the hands of madmen. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, and wickedness does not become widespread among a people except that Allah inflicts upon them widespread calamity. Obey me so long as I obey Allah and His Messenger. And if I disobey Allah and His Messenger, I have no right to your obedience. Stand up now to pray. May Allah have mercy with you. Here's a surah that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu puts down. And what is that? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu makes it quite categorically clear. And you know, subhanAllah, who says this? Unless you are really sincere for the sake of Allah. Obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Rasul. Normally it's obey me irrespective. But this is the sincerity of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If I do wrong, straighten me out. And if I don't obey Allah and His Rasul, then don't obey me. I mean, that's the usul in the deen. There is no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of the Creator. And here Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentions that obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Rasul. And also the other principle Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lays down here is that any Islamic state, really any Islamic household, any institute should be based on the Quran and the Sunnah. As long as I obey Allah and His Rasul, obey me. And the day you see me, I don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul, then there is no need for you to obey me. And this is the khutbah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You know, it's a one, two minute khutbah. That's all it is. But look at what it encompasses. It encompasses all the governance of Islam. Imam Malik rahimahullah said, nobody can establish a state without acting upon the teachings of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What it encompasses, justice. It encompasses justice. Justice for all. And this is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, he said, Allah's help is even with the disbelievers as long as they have justice in their nations. Allah's help is with the disbelievers as long as they have justice in their nations. And Allah's help is removed from the believers if they have injustice in their nations. Subhanallah. I think you don't have to go too far today to actually see that. You look at the state of the Muslim world, you know, those people who are meant to be the people of Haqq, or Deen. But because often there is no justice, no justice for the poor, no justice for those people who don't come from their nations, maybe that is the consequence that we, you know, the outcome and the consequence that we see in the Muslim world today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon the teachings of Allah and His Rasul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon what we have heard and bring this into our lives. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.